Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Alex L., and I write books for a living. The Hey Girl podcast was created with sisterhood and storytelling in mind.
Hey girl.
Hey girl.
Hey girl.
Hey girl.
I'll be sitting down with some phenomenal women to discuss love.
I believe we grew distant out of love of some type, like, yeah. I don't want to hurt you.
Loss.
Really don't know what's going to trigger that feeling of grief in any moment.
And a topic very important to my work, self-care.
Freedom is self-care. It's not about pedicures. It's not about clothing. It's not about trips.
Join us as we journey through sharing together. Today, I'm speaking with Julie Wilson, the fashion and beauty editor at Essence Magazine. We're talking about motherhood, writing, career, and of course, self-care. This conversation is rooted in love and vulnerability as we sit back and share stories about motherhood, wife life, and everything else in between. This is Julie's story. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. What's up?
Julie, thank you so much for being with me today. How are you?
I'm really great. I'm really excited to be here with you. I love you, and I love everything about you, so I'm really excited that I'm getting to chat with you.
So before we get started with our conversation, I would love for you to tell the Hey Girl listeners a little bit about you. So who are you and what do you do?
Ooh, who am I? I am Julie Anastasia Wilson Wareham. I am the fashion and beauty director at Essence Magazine. I'm a mama and to my four-year-old son, Orion, and wife to my husband, Rasan, and a sister and a daughter and a friend and all of those things as well.
So diving in, fashion and beauty at Essence, I would love to chat with you about how you got started where you are, maybe even before Essence, and how you came to be in that position and what it's taught you about sisterhood and community and standing in your power.
Whoa, that's a
it's loaded. Sorry.
Whoa, that's a lot. How did I get here? I mean, I think I always knew I wanted to be a writer, mm-hmm. and I wanted to write about fashion and beauty because those things excited me and were fun. And so after a series of internships, I landed my first full-time job at Real Simple Magazine as the assistant to the editor-in-chief and kind of worked my way up to being the staff fashion editor for 6.5 years. Yeah. So it was a long time in the beginning of my career, and then I transitioned over to the Huffington Post because, you know, it was 2011 and magazines were folding and they were keeping their websites, and I just knew that in order to have longevity in the industry, I would really have to learn digital, and the best place to learn digital is at a juggernaut like HuffPost. And so I went to HuffPost and I was there for 4.5 years, and I think I have over 2,500 clips at HuffPost because it was just a machine. I was just, you know, writing like, it could be like 4 to 6 stories a day, like 6 days a week. So it was a lot, but it was really great to kind of learn digital and learn the wave of how publishing and how journalism was going. And then I got the opportunity while I was at the Huffington Post, actually, to write a September cover story for Essence, which is just like insane because, like, as a little black girl coming up, you know, in the world in general, you don't even have to be into writing or publishing.
Right.
Like, Essence is this heritage brand, and it's this thing that's omnipresent in your life. And I think I always wanted to touch Essence at some point in my career. So for them to ask me to write the September cover story that was actually going to be about Misty Copeland, who is a friend of mine, she's principal ballerina at American Ballet Theatre, I kind of jumped at the chance and I was like, I have to do this. After a series of back and forth with, like, trying to figure out if I could do it, at the Huffington Post, they were like, you know, we don't really want you to do, you know, any freelance writing. Mm. And I kind of dug my heels in and I said, well, I'll just take the consequences. If it means me losing my job, I have to take this opportunity.
Wow.
and write this cover story. And they were actually like, well, wait, like, if it's that serious, then you can stay. But I think it was a real turning point in my career when I just, like, understood my worth and understood that what was important to me. And so 6 months after I wrote that cover story, they called and offered me a job at Essence, and I kind of jumped on it.
I was going to ask, how quick did you jump on it?
Yeah, I mean, really quick. I mean, like, look, I think I had like an amazing career at the Huffington Post, and I learned so much. And Ariana, I still count her as like a really amazing mentor and person in my life. Even her initially saying no to me writing that Essence cover was for a purpose. It was to allow me to find the courage in myself to say, you know, I'm going to do this, and like, I'll find another job because I'm dope.
Yeah.
And then when they ended up allowing me to write it, I wrote it and it was great. I stayed at HuffPost obviously through after writing the cover story. But then when Essence called like 6 months later, I was like, I'm going to go and do that, because you can't stay stagnant. I think being there for almost 5 years at HuffPost, I was like, let me go and try something new. And definitely Essence is just amazing. So
I think that's really awesome. And it touches on the point of standing in your power, like having that whole experience with the Huffington Post and learning so much, but also standing up for something that you wanted to do. Right. And then that turning into your dream career is so beautiful. And I want to backtrack just a little bit, because I'm sure before writing as a professional, there was writing as a personal practice. And I would love to explore how writing came to be in your life and when you fell in love with words.
I mean, I think from when I can remember, I was like always writing notes. Mm. Like I remember always like writing my mom a note if I wanted to go to a friend's house. Like it would just be so simple to just say, Mom, can I go over to, you know, LaToya's house to go play? But it was me writing her a note and telling her what I wanted to do there. And like, it was weird. Like I just was always, I guess, in love with the actual, not only words, but like the written word. Even in college, like funny enough, like when I compose with pen and paper. Like it's really hard for me. I mean, I've done it now after working at the Huffington Post and having to write so fast of composing on the computer, but I still love to like handwrite, and I always write in cursive. Mm. Like I can't print. My hand just won't do it. There's just like this love affair with words and writing and that sort of thing. I wish I journaled more. I mean, I listen to your, I listen to this podcast and the conversations you have with folks and like your own personal practice. And it's so inspiring, because I used to journal a lot more and now I just like haven't, and I just need to get back to that. Because I think it always makes you have a better voice and a better and just be a better writer. But my personal writing practice has kind of dwindled, sadly. But I'm writing so much for, you know, Essence and other projects I'm working on that it's hard for me to do my personal writing.
Do you miss it?
I do. I miss not only the practice of it and like how it helps me just like move through my life and like make me feel better, but I also miss it for that sense of like what I'll leave behind.
Mm,
and it's like, I can't, like there's so many days and experiences and things that I'm not writing down, and like they'll just be lost when I leave this earth. And like, I want them to be here for, you know, not only my family, but anyone else who like discovers my journals.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And our words outlive us. And I'm really just happy to hear you kind of segue into that, because I had this conversation with one of my self-care coaching clients, and she's a lawyer and she is busy and all these things, but she's also a new mom and a wife. And a part of our practice is creating ritual through writing. And she has been doing such a wonderful job with her journal questions and her writing homework. And literally, she has birthed something that she can leave behind for her son. And she brought that up at our session last week. Like, Alex, I'm so glad that we were able to do this and that we're able to work through this stuff, because now I have my journals that I can leave to him or give to him when he's older, so he can know me and know what I'm going through or what I have gone through and how much I love and care about him and his dad and just all the things. So
right.
I love that you were, you know, able to explore that too and just say, that's something that you want to do, and you know I'm going to encourage you to do it.
Like, yeah, I know. I mean,
lean into that.
No, I do need to lean into it. I do. I think I sometimes get caught up in my head, too, as like a writer, and I'm like, it's got to be good. You know, like I can't just like sit down and be like, I had a, you know, a uncomfortable experience today around X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Like, I don't want to just like have it be this pithy,
right,
like, I did this today. I ate this today.
Yeah.
I feel sad. I feel glad. Like, I want it to be like this, like beautifully written, like poetic, like representation of like my day.
Mm.
And like, I think the pressure I'm put on myself from that, like prevents me from even opening up my journal. Cause I'm like, what I'm not going to do is waste this paper
right.
and this time and like this ink on just, it was an okay day. You know,
I mean, that's real. And I think that's why a lot of people don't journal and they don't write or they don't want to, because it's like, where do I start? And I think, you know, personally, I prefer journal questions, because it's like, okay, this is so much better than sitting down with this Dear Diary experience, which is boring. And like, what do I say? Where do I go with it? All that jazz. So I feel you, girl, all the way.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Do you love discovering new products? Are you a beauty and fashion maven constantly on the hunt for the next best thing? Ever read about or spot something online that you've always wanted to try but never have? Then you might love FabFitFun. It allows women everywhere to discover new products, as well as including rave review and must-have brands that you know and love. It's like Christmas four times a year. Stumped on gift ideas? FabFitFun is also a great gift for someone you love. You can surprise your mom or sister with this awesome summer box packed with great items. Do you have a daughter who's going to college, maybe? Or a friend who's a new mom? FabFitFun is an awesome care package. My last box came with this beautiful lotus towel. It was blue, and it's shaped like the flower, and it has a gorgeous design in the middle. That's something we've been laying out on the deck and relaxing on for a few weeks now. So what I love about FabFitFun is that they offer full-size products, no samples of anything. Every box is guaranteed to have over $200+ in retail value. The summer 2019 box has a total retail value between $269 to $467. That's fantastic. Treat yourself with items in it, such as the Sutra Professional Mini Travel Blow Dryer, the beautiful Vicks Paula Lotus Towel, or the West Elm Indigo tie-dye bowls. Many of the products' individual value is more than the entire cost of the box. You can customize your box by choosing some products and some add-ons with each one. Or you can be surprised. It's great for discovering new brands and new products. What a better way to shop. I'm looking forward to my next box because they're always so different and packed with things I can actually use. I like to share the items in my box with my 11-year-old. She's really into skincare these days. We recently got a clay mask and a foot mask and a body scrub. She loves them all. The FabFitFun 2019 summer box is on sale now. So sign up for FabFitFun today. These boxes always sell out. You can use my code HEYGIRL to get $10 off your first box. All you have to do is go to FabFitFun to sign up and get started. Use promo code HEYGIRL to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 for only $39.99. Go to FabFitFun.com and use my code HEYGIRL to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box. So to shift gears into motherhood, let's talk about 4-year-old Orion and like how his birth up to 4 years has shown you another side of who you are and how self-care plays a part in your mothering experience.
Oh my God, I'm like literally getting, this is how emotional I am. I'm like literally getting weepy. Mm. Anytime anyone asks me about him, I just like get weepy because I just love him so much, and I love what he's meant for me and, like, my, like, personal growth. I just feel like when I became a mother, I immediately understood, like, at least part of my purpose, you know? And it crystallized my career and, like, what I was doing. Like, it was not only for me to be, like, you know, get my byline on a really great story or twirl at an event or go to a fashion show or, you know, have a lunch with, you know, the PR person at Chanel Beauty. Like, those are all amazing and fun things, but like, this was like, I want to make him proud. I want to make my time spent away from him count. You know, it makes you more efficient as an employee and as a person, because you're like, I don't have time to just like put that off for another, you know, day or a few hours. I want to get my work done. I need to go and pick up my son. I want to make sure that when I do pick him up, if I'm going home, that I'm not immediately opening up my computer and I'm spending time with him. So it's very practical and personal. You know, it's the practical side of being more efficient, but it's the personal side of like, I'm somebody's mama and I want them to be proud of me being their mama.
How has mothering and just parenthood brought you and your husband closer?
It's just cool to see us like forming a human being. Because like to me, I sometimes think of us like, and I think it's a good thing to think that way of us, like us being like young and like, I can't believe we're like actually like taking care of a person.
Right.
You know, that might seem immature in some sense, but it's also very like, I still feel like my heart pitters and patters when I see my husband and like, you know, like when we first fell in love 13 years ago, but being able to have Orion in our lives has definitely brought us closer, but it's also obviously created a lot of challenges with, you know, figuring out how to, you know, balance our schedules
right.
and balance our time with each other, which we don't get a lot of time together, but the time that we have with Orion is just so sweet and precious. And like when we're just even just sitting on the couch watching like Paw Patrol, you know, it's like,
yeah,
it's nice to have that time, and no one's trying to go out to a club anyway.
Right.
So I'm like a homebody. I like being home anyway. And like being home with my two boys is just like perfect.
There's magic and memories in those moments. And Ryan and I, it's so funny. I was thinking about this the other day. Like we don't really do much. We never really did much before because we like being home too. And like Netflix and chill and ordering in or cooking is like where it's at and where it's kind of always been at. But now with Isla, you know, Charlie, she's a big girl. So she's, you know, doing her own thing. She can entertain herself and stuff like that. So when she's at my parents' house on the weekends, they have their own little like date nights, which is super cute. It's That's me so and Rye. Cute. So it's not it's me, Rye, and Isla. So we don't get much date night time like we used to. And we really, you know, when I was pregnant, we made an effort to like do something every Friday night. When Charlie would go to my parents' house, we would eat in or we would go for a walk and just really try to explore those alone time moments because we knew that they were coming to an end. So just like the little twists and turns that come along with with marriage and then bringing children into a marriage, it's like, oh, wow, like things have changed a lot and for the better, but things are definitely different. And just to kind of like circle back to what you said, time is limited when you have children. Time together is limited. So like really trying to be intentional about how you spend that time, you know, during bedtime, you know, when the kids go to sleep, or, you know, just making sure that you're reconnecting at some point has been a big lesson for me and Ryan. Like, did I tell him I loved him today? Are we checking in? Did we ask how each other's day were? Like, not just getting caught in the, like,
my heart. Like, I need to be more intentional about that and be more.
We all do.
Present. Yeah. I mean, Orion loves a song sometimes after we'd go through the whole bedtime routine. It's like, you know, brush your teeth, wash your face, do all the, read two or three books. Like, it's a lot, right? And after a long day of work. And so sometimes after all of that, he's like, Anne, can you sing a song? And I'm always like, no, I don't want to sing a song. And like, I just want to go and sit and like eat or like have a glass of wine, or I'm stressed out about like some project I have to do for work. And it's like, I'm just trying to get through this whole like bedtime routine so that I can get to this project. And the last thing I need to do is like sing a song. But like singing a song will take like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm like complaining about the fact that I don't want to sing him a song. Mm. And I know that like one day I'll be like, why didn't I sing that song? Mm. I'm like really literally crying right now.
But nobody talks about that part of motherhood. It's always like, you know, we're super women, right? But it's like sometimes we don't want to sing a song. And that's okay. And like honoring that that's okay. But also doing what you're doing now and being like, but it takes 2 minutes and like I'm never going to get this time back. So just finding the harmony and the balance in the motherhood mess, in the parenthood mess, because the work can wait, you know? And I think that that's what I'm learning, is that the work can wait, even though it seems so pressing at the time. So we're all like trying to juggle and find balance and have boundaries in motherhood. And it's not always pretty. And I feel like the internet makes things like really pretty. And it's like, how?
So pretty.
It's like, that is not like, I don't want to do that. Like, we don't go for long walks and pick daisies every day. And, you know, sometimes dinner looks like having puffs and getting nursed and that's it. You know, like Isla loves puffs and she's like obsessed with the peach ones. But it's just like finding what works for us and not feeling guilty about not wanting to sing that song.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I feel you. I feel
my
you.
Guilt just came.
Oh,
rushing.
I know. It happened.
But
yeah,
it'll be fine. I mean, I think that's been part of like at least the story that I like to tell through my social media, and is that it's not as easy and glamorous as what people think. You know, I work in a industry that is built on glamour and built on facade and built on smoke and mirrors.
Mm.
I have to be, I believe it's my responsibility to be extra transparent about the fact that it's not like that. And at least for me.
Yeah.
I have friends whose lives look like a page out of Vogue magazine, you know? And that's great. And like, it's inspiring. But for me, it's not, I mean, that's just not my life. I still bless and I still love what I do and there's still moments of glamour, but I have to show that in those crevices, there are these like real moments. I'm a black woman with natural hair who's a size 16. Like, fashion and beauty is not necessarily made for me.
Wow.
But I've made a way for myself and a way of speaking about being successful in the industry, but also being very true to Julie. Mm. And like, if that means going to a fabulous party and showing that on my social media and then going home and having Orion peel off my fake eyelashes, which is like one of our favorite, and apparently everyone who follows me, their favorite segments. He loves peeling off my eyelashes. But that's not very glamorous of me.
On brand, right?
It's not very on brand as a beauty and fashion director to go to a fancy fashion or beauty event and then to come home to my small Harlem apartment, walk up, four-story walk up, and then have my four-year-old son peel off my eyelashes, because God forbid you see that I live in a 4-story walk-up in Harlem and that my eyelashes aren't real, you know? So it's, but that's real.
But that's real.
And I have to be real and I have to show you that you do not have to be, have this perfect life and all of these, the perfect apartment and the perfect eyelashes to be successful in this world. And like, you know, I've been really vocal about even during like Fashion Week and stuff, I'm like, or, you know, Essence Festival, I'm like, I don't have any clothes to wear because all of the companies that, you know, a lot of the companies that I work with don't even have clothing above a size 14. So it's really interesting to be in this world, but like not necessarily feel like you fit in to it.
And look at you just flourishing and making a way and being vulnerable in the moments that nobody wants to really talk about. What I admire about you is your ability to speak up and stand in your power and also like lean into your career and be a mother, and knowing that motherhood isn't a brand, you know, it is a experience. It is a lifestyle that never goes away. Like you're always going to be a mother. And I just really admire that about the work that you're doing and the voice that you're giving not only other women, but yourself, to be like, hey, it doesn't always look like X, Y, and Z. Sometimes it looks like A, B, and then E.
Yeah. Right. No, really. And I think that, you know, it's not only like, look, I'm not about like, oh, I need 100,000 followers to make myself feel like I'm, you know, important.
Right.
Like the followers I have are definitely a good amount, but like I'm very engaged with them and like I DM with people that I have no idea who they are, like whatever. But like I try to engage with people just to see, I don't know. It's I think it's part of that, like just having a human connection with someone and not necessarily that's outside of your normal life and world. I hear often that, you know, I love how real you are. Thank you for showing us that it's not a perfect life and a perfect world. But not only is it, I feel like, inspiring to others to see that, but like it's the battery in my back to keep pushing forward that like I'm not perfect, and but like I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm okay with not being this like perfect example of what.
I recently started wearing a new bra by Third Love, and I absolutely adore it. Did you know that breast shape matters when you're finding a good fit? I didn't. Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz to design bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and premium feel. I found the Fit Finder quiz really helpful when I was picking out my Third Love bra. I didn't know I was wearing the wrong size for so long. I think what's really awesome about this is that over 12 million women have taken the quiz to date. And it's actually a pretty fun experience. I answered a few simple questions and I found my perfect fit in about 60 seconds. Third Love offers more than 70 sizes, which is more sizes than most other brands, including their signature half cup sizes. Not only that, but Third Love is convenient. You can skip the trip to the mall, find your fit with their online fit finder, order, try it on at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. What really sold me on Third Love was the 100% fit guarantee. Every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. And if you don't love it, you can return it. And Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. Third Love's team of expert fit stylists are dedicated to helping you find your perfect fit. Fit stylists are available every day to help via text, chat, or phone. Returns and exchanges are free and easy. What's not to love? Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they're offering Hey Girl listeners 15% off of your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/heygirl to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/heygirl for 15% off today.
What it looks like to be in this industry or in this world, or, you know, be the perfect mom or perfect wife. And I like looking back at those things and like not cringing, if that makes any sense.
It does.
You know?
It does.
That like, I'm like, no, that was cool. Like, I'm okay with the fact that, like, you know, I got dirt on my pants and I'm going into a fashion show or whatever. And like, that's so faux pas. And everyone's going to be like, what is she doing? She looks raggedy. I don't care. Like, that's me. And like, my worth is definitely not, you know, contingent on whether there's like dirt on my pants or not. You know,
it's not my responsibility to show up in this world perfect. It's my responsibility to show up in this world as I am. It's also not my responsibility to have other people receive or like me. It is my responsibility to stand in my truth and in hopes that that assists other people, specifically women, stand in theirs. And the joy from this work that we're doing is building community and being honest while we're doing it, because that is where the truth is. That's where the community stands together, is in the imperfection. Right. It's in the imperfect moments that we see the
and
glory.
Finding that tribe, you know, finding those people that get that.
Yeah.
You know, like, I love interacting with people that get the fact that, like, it's okay not to, like, be what people want you to be. Like, I'm just me. And, like, and the fact that, like, especially in what I do, you know, like, people's worths are so tied to, like, their title or what publication they're at, right?
Yeah.
And I always say this, and I'm always like, Julie, you're going to, like, jinx yourself out of a job or something. But I'm always like, I need to be okay with me without the title and without the brand, you know, without the company.
Yeah.
Like, Julie is dope. What makes Julie doper is that she gets to be the fashion and beauty director at Essence right now.
Yeah.
You know, like, because I'm constantly having to remind myself, like, this isn't mine. This can be taken from me, you know?
Yeah.
And what's mine is me. And so who am I? Like, I'm dope. I'm a good friend. I'm a good wife. I'm a good mom. I'm all of these things beyond what I do.
Yes.
And what I do is definitely shiny. It makes people look to who I am, but hopefully that's just an entree for you to see, oh, but Julie, she's dope. Like, she's the dope one. And what makes her doper is all these other things, like her job.
Yeah.
But if I leave this job, or this job is, God forbid, taken from me, I'm not lost. Or people aren't like, well, the only reason why she was cool was because she did that. It's like, no, Julie was really cool. That's why, like, on my social media, it's not just, you know, a lot of people in my position and in this industry, it's like outfits of the day, only the gifts and the perks and like all of that. It's like, no, I'll show you, like, look, if I'm wearing a cute outfit, I'm gonna put that up. If I get a cute selfie, for sure. But like, it's also like friends of mine that don't even work in fashion. It's also my husband. It's also my son.
Yeah.
It's also me doing other things. Like, I can't just show you a facade of what you believe a fashion and beauty director at Essence should be. This is Julie. This is my life. And you'll see glimpses of what I do, but it has to be a 360 view.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. As we start to wrap up, I want to ask you how you are blooming in your career and this industry as a Black woman of color writer.
I'm really proud to be someone that people can look to as one of the very, like, a very small group of us. It's definitely an honor and a joy, and I think that I'm just growing and growing and standing more in my voice. I've been very vocal about the lack of diversity in fashion and beauty, and I feel like I've been able to do that in a way that maybe some of my counterparts, my sisters in this industry, haven't been able to. I mean, I feel like we're all pretty voicey, but I kind of count it as a blessing now. And I used to think of it as not a curse, but something that bothered me was that I'd never been at like a Vogue or an Allure and Harper's Bazaar or mm-hmm. that sort of thing. And all of those places like legitimize you as like a fashion editor or a beauty editor, right? Mm-hmm. I've been at Real Simple, which does fashion and beauty, but not considered a fashion or beauty book. I've been at the Huffington Post, which again, does fashion and beauty, but not considered one of those mainstream fashion and beauty titles. And then Essence, which is does it and does it well, but is considered a lifestyle magazine, you know?
Yeah.
And because I've had this kind of adjacency to these big brands, I've been able to be like more vocal and be able to say things that maybe I wouldn't have been able to say if I was at another brand or at other brands. So I kind of, and whereas, like I said, that kind of bothered me in the past.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, why can't I like just be at a fabulous big fashion or beauty glossy? Mm-hmm. Like I've seen that it's been a blessing for me that I've been able to be at these other places and like really, to use the word that you use, bloom into the writer and the voice and the presence I was destined, I think, to be in this field.
Mm. Lastly, I want to touch on self-care. So how have you been honoring your self-care practice as you move through the world as a Black woman, as a size 16, as a mother, as someone who is vocal about different things that go on, not only in regular life, but in the industry? How does self-care play a part in how you move through the world in your body?
I don't think I've done a really good job of self-care. I like to talk about self-care. And I think by talking about it, I'm hoping that it manifests in my life in some way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not good at like really taking time for myself. I just literally just went 48 hours to Austria.
Wow.
Yeah, for this spa, Susan Kaufman. She owns a spa and a hotel in Austria, and she invited me there, and I was there for only 48 hours. But it was just such an amazing moment of self-care, and I just realized then that I don't do a good job of self-care. I'm like very much like, what does everybody want from me? I'm a yes girl. Like, I'll do it. Like, sure. Like, let me do that. Like, so I definitely need to be better about that. Mm-hmm. I think as far as like my body and being in my body, it's a little hard. I'm very proud of like my size and all of those things, but I also do think that is me trying to work through the emotions of being okay with being a size 16,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I was a Division I track and field athlete in college. Like I was a machine. Like I was slim, trim, and muscular and fast and all those things. And now after having a baby and just living life, I'm now found myself in this body that I don't really recognize,
mm-hmm.
but I'm learning to love.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I cry a lot about the fact that I'm, you know, my body is different than what I've always known it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But then I just like remind myself, like I was like brought a dope ass life into the world, so I'm not gonna like beat myself up about this and my stretch marks and my non-flat tummy and my big thighs and I can't fit into that dress I fit into 2 months ago or whatever it is. Like I just get over it, buy a new dress, smile, and thank God that I'm like being able to even just take up space in this world. You know,
that taking up space. If you want to connect with Julie on social media, you can do so at Instagram, at Miss Julie, MissJulee. The Hey Girl podcast is a member of The District Productive, produced by Paul, Woody Woodhall, and me, Alex L. Music by DC's own Kokai.